I want to read just two passages, firstly tonight, and the first is in John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 19. John chapter 19, page 1297 in these Bibles. Page 1297. John chapter 19, verse 25. John 19, verse 25. And by the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and the sister of his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Jesus therefore, seeing his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, says to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he says unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. There was a vessel therefore there full of vinegar, and having filled a sponge with vinegar, and putting hyssop round it, they put it up to his mouth. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. It is finished. And having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. And then just one other passage in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, that's page 839. Page 839 in these Bibles. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Isaiah 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the end of days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and Jehovah's word from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall reprove many peoples. And they shall forge their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning knives. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. May God bless the reading of his word. I want to read look at the second passage first. So we've had in the last 2 weeks, as we all know, a war. We're hearing of a new war between two nations, Russia and Ukraine. Many people have died already. Many mothers in both countries will not see their sons alive anymore. Many people, many families won't see their loved ones alive anymore, whether it's soldiers or civilians. Some people who are still alive have lost parts of their body, lost limbs, or been terribly injured. We don't exactly know how many, but many. A nation has lifted up its sword against another nation. The whole history of the world is like that, isn't it? If you study history, right from the very beginning, nations have risen up against other nations. When we were in school in history, we learnt in history about the Second World War, when Hitler invaded many countries, and millions upon millions of people died. 6 million Jews died in the gas chambers. How terrible that was. The cruelty of wicked man, man against man. And once more we're hearing news of a terrible war that hasn't been going on very long, and many, many people have died already. That's the history of this world. How fortunate we are that we're not in a war zone ourselves, but we have to think about those that are in a war zone. Those that do not know whether they'll get to the end of this the day that they're living in. They do not know whether they'll see another day. Many stories, many tragic stories that we are hearing in the news, aren't we? Where people have suddenly lost loved ones. and the great suffering that goes with war, the awfulness of it, the unleashing of man's hatred, the awfulness of what it means to live in a war zone. Many decades ago, people in this country lived in a war zone. There were planes coming over at night, dropping bombs on London and many other places. Some people here remember that, how real that is. That's a sobering reminder of the reality of war, isn't it? But the good news in the gospel is that there is coming a time on the earth when, as I read in this passage, neither shall they learn war any more. This is a prophecy. A prophecy is when God tells the future. A prophecy is when God gives a prediction about what will happen. God knows the future. How amazing that is. No one here knows the future. No spiritual, supposed spiritual person or medium or anyone else knows the future. It is only God who knows the future. And many hundreds of things which God has already had said in the past would happen, happened in the life of Jesus. Fulfilled prophecy, that's what that's called. Fulfilled prophecy. Many things were said about Jesus and they happened in absolute detail. The day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey was the precise day hundreds of years before that the prophets have said was said he would do so. It's accurate to the precise day. That's the accuracy of God's words. There's so much confusion in the world today, and yet God's word is accurate. It is perfect. God's holy, infallible word is what we have in our hands tonight. What a blessing, what a privilege that is to have God's holy words that we can read in our own language. Many Christians today perhaps don't even have the Bible, but what a privilege it is, whether we're Christians or not, to have God's perfect, eternal, infallible words to read so that we can understand. What a privilege to read this passage, to read this prophecy about the time when war shall be no more. The Lord Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the earth. There's a lot of detail in this passage. I didn't want to go into it tonight, but it says at the end of the days, at the end of days in verse 2. And we are close to the end of days. If you look carefully in the Bible, you will see many, many indications, many signs in the Bible about the things that we would see in the world at the end of days. So that means that there may not be a gospel preaching next week. We're that close to the end. No one knows. I don't know when the end of days will be. But we know that we are close to the end. God has been waiting for 2,000 years. After Jesus rose from the dead and went up to heaven, God has been sending out the message of his forgiveness, free and full forgiveness. And it's been going on for 2,000 years. But Daniel and the writer of Revelation and many other prophets, they wrote about the things that we would see in the world at the end of days. And we can see so many of those if we look carefully. Even the fact that Russia is involved is itself a sign, because Russia itself as a country is mentioned in prophecy. So many Christians are seeing that. The countries that you see, many countries that you see today are directly mentioned in prophecy. God has known about them all along. Isn't that interesting? God has known about you all along as well. He's known about your life. He's known about you. It makes it personal, doesn't it? God knows everything about you and he loves you. Even though we're sinners, even though we're all sinners in this room, everyone included, God knows us and God loves us. He knew from the beginning that we would be here this day in 2022. He knew from the beginning that we would be here listening to the gospel. And he's waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you to say, to repent before God of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is him that will that will put down wars. It is him that will put an end to wars. It tells us in the Bible that the Lord Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will reign over the earth as the rightful ruler of this world. Many people shall go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of Jehovah, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and Jehovah's word from Jerusalem. He, that's the Lord Jesus, shall judge among the many nations and reprove many peoples. Notice what they do. They forge their swords into plowshares. Swords are weapons of war. How many weapons of war there are today? The technology that man has to destroy himself. How awful that is. Even in the last century, in the 20th century, you saw the terrible effect of the devices, the bombs, and many things that man has to wipe out human life. The things that the equipment that they have to kill humans is an awful, awful thing. But there is coming a time when swords and every weapon of war will be made into plowshares. They will no longer be used to kill. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Every true believer, dear friends, is looking on to that time. Do you have an assurance that you will be in that coming kingdom that the Lord Jesus will have for every single one who has put their trust in him? There is going to come an end to war on the earth. There is going to come an end to conflict. Because the root cause of war, dear friends, is sin. The root cause of war came in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible has got the origin and explanation for every problem in the world today. There is no problem in the world today that cannot be traced back to sin. And sin came in Genesis chapter 3. God knows about everything in advance. He knows about your life. He knows about everything that's happening in your life. Jesus proved that when he met various people. He read their thoughts. He knew their circumstances. He met people with many, many different needs. He met people who had a bad, sad, guilty past like you and me. Just like us. He met people that had broken lives and they needed love and they needed forgiveness. But the greatest thing that you need more than anything else, dear friends, is forgiveness. Forgiveness of your sins is the greatest need that you have. You might think to yourself, well, I need food and water, I need clothes. That's more than some people have got. You need shelter and you need many other things like that. But the greatest need that you have is to be washed clean of your sins. To be washed clean of the bad things that you've done before a holy God, so that you may not have to face the judgments. We're hearing about battles in this war, aren't we? Terrible battles where many people are killed. But I wanted to highlight, dear friends, this passage which I read in John's Gospel. Because the reason I read this passage was because it is the greatest battle that has ever taken place. It might not sound like a battle. We're used to stories of battles, aren't we, in history? We're used to some idea of a battle between two armies or two sides. The greatest battle was what I read in John chapter 19. And it took place at the cross. Notice in John chapter 19 verse 25, Jesus has been nailed to the cross. Jesus is on the cross. And by the cross is standing his mother. We do not know how terrible it must have been for her to have seen Jesus crucified, to see him hanging on the cross. As I said earlier, there are many mothers in Russia and Ukraine that will not see their sons alive again. How sad that is. 19, 20, 21 years old, killed at the prime of life. Just like it happened in the other wars that we've read about in history. Jesus' mother stood by the cross. And there are other women there. The other women are highlighted. They loved Jesus and they were followers of him. And they're highlighted here because of their devotion to Jesus. And then there's the disciple whom Jesus loved. John's writing about himself. So John is there as well. And he's seen Jesus crucified. He's seeing him hanging on the cross. Why was he hanging on the cross, dear friends? Why was an innocent, righteous, perfect man hanging on the cross? Because of you and me, dear friends. Because of our guilt and our sins. Because of you and because of me. Because of the fact that in 2022, you and I would need forgiveness. Would need to be redeemed of our sins. To be washed clean from our sins by his blood. That's why Jesus is on this cross 2,000 years ago. You know, time doesn't make any difference to God. The gospel is the same. It's just as powerful now as when Jesus was dying on the cross. And he was there for you and for me. Every true Christian can look at Jesus on that cross by faith and know that it was for them. That's a personal thing, isn't it? It's a personal thing. No one else can make you saved. It's just between you and God. It's between you and God as a one-to-one. You can't become a Christian by going to church. You can't become a Christian by someone else teaching you how to or to become a Christian. It's only between you and God. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, "I thirst." And he received the vinegar, but then I just wanted to highlight what Jesus said. The words of Jesus throughout the Bible are very, very special. If you have a look through your Bible and look at what Jesus actually says, every word that he says has very, very great meaning. Some Bibles have the words of Jesus in red, as I often say. But Jesus said something very interesting, doesn't he? Look at what he says in verse 30. He says, "It is finished." He says, "It is finished." And having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. That means he died. Jesus died in that verse. Because he gave up his spirit. That's different from anyone else. But what he said was, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." The work of redemption, the work of bearing the wrath and punishment against God, from God, because of sin, was finished. The battle was won. The battle that he had with Satan because of sin and death, it was finished. The battle was completely won. There are many battles in wars today where it's not very clear who's won the battle. Sometimes it's in a stalemate. There's many dead on both sides. There's lots of damage in many, many different ways and terrible effects after the battle. Though great generals in the past have won battles like the Duke of Wellington and many others, and they said, "Even though we won the battle, what a horrific thing it was to see so many men die." Dear friends, one man has died and has won the battle. One man has died and has won the victory over sin, the victory over the devil, the victory over death. He has won the victory for those who put their faith and trust in him. So that victory belongs to every true Christian. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer shares in that victory. Have you shared in that victory? Have you taken that victory by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say that he is your saviour? That's the greatest message. That's the message I have for tonight. Because the greatness of that love which brought him down from the heights of heaven to Calvary's cross was so that he would win the victory. He would win the victory for his people, all of those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. How do we know that he truly won the victory? He won the victory because he rose from the dead. Because if you turn to the next chapter, which we're not going to now, but we did earlier today, you find in John 20 that Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead as proof that he had won the victory. And again, the first person to see him alive is a woman called Mary. They were at the cross and they were rewarded for their devotion by being the first to see Jesus out of death. Can you say that that victory is yours? Can you say that that victory belongs to you as well? Because it belongs to every believer. It belongs to everyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Can you say that that love which has that he gave, he showed to us, you have realised for yourself? Because the greatest thing about Christianity is God's love for you. His holiness and his righteousness and his perfection, but his love which brought him down from the heights of heaven. That's why love is one of the greatest aspects of Christianity. God is holy and righteous and he cannot look upon sin. But it was God's love where, it's the cross where God's mercy and justice meets. Justice was given unto Jesus. He bore our sins. God must punish sin, but it was his love that took him there. And it was his love that held him to the cross. And it was his love that made him go all of that way until it was finished. And it is finished means that there is nothing else that we can do for our salvation. There is nothing that we can add to the work that Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. We cannot bring our good works to God. That will get us nowhere. We must only put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done and repent before God. Put our faith and trust in Jesus. Repentance means realizing how bad our sin is and turning away from it and saying sorry to God for what we've done. And realising that it was our sins that took Jesus to the cross. And putting our faith and trust and knowing that he was there for us. May we all have and share in that victory. It doesn't matter in comparison with anything else that happens in your life. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. Because it's knowledge of him that will take you through into eternity. Many people are realising that their hopes for this life are being shattered. Their hopes for this life have been lost. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you a hope which goes beyond. How wonderful that is, eternal life. May we all have that eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ, for his name's sake.